champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Every time. I love this song, but I hate it.
Do you feel little, like, tingles going up your
spine
now? Every
time they put this in the episode, it gives me tingles and goosebumps and just heaps. But anyway, welcome back, After Buzzers, to another awesome Castle After Show, Season 7, Episode 14, Resurrected. Rection?
Resurrection.
Yes. I was trying to remember. I was like, Anyway, please don't forget, if you haven't already, to subscribe to us on YouTube. Check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud and all those awesome places. My name is Alexis Torres, and this is the beautiful Tiara Hobson.
Hello! Thank you for having me.
Again? Yes.
Again.
Oh, gosh. No!
Marissa's creeping us out.
No, she's trying to kill us. I mean, we love you. But Heather is still not here, which she's still not feeling well, so please tweet and tell her, you know, get better, well wishes, everything like that, at Heather Joy Smith, because she's awesome, and we miss her very dearly.
Yes, we do.
But definitely got to get into this episode, which I'm sad that she missed, because holy guacamole, this episode was insane. And I remember why I don't remember this killer was because I personally tried to block it out of my memory, because he is the creepiest person in the world. And this all these cases, it's all his case, in general, was just out of this world, and the writers put so much thought into this character.
I love that they reminded the audience too, you know, by bringing in those flashbacks and having everything tie in together, everything he's ever said over the course of, I don't even know how many seasons he's spread out, but it's been,
according to a few of the fans who wrote to us, I think it was like season 4, a little bit of 5, and then
that's 3 seasons to have everything from, you know, the first time we met him to tie back into tonight's episode. That's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the fact that it was that far back. I definitely remember it from last season, but I don't remember it being, you know, there were so many of that. I didn't know he's the only recurring serial killer in the whole series, and I do remember Lainey and Esposito's copies. That was the creepiest thing in the world. So, one, I'm glad they brought it back, but at the same time, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. There's no way.
No, probably not. But I am glad, you know, last week we did say that if they were bringing him back, we hoped that it wasn't going to just be, you know, squeeze it all in an hour.
No.
Nope. We got our wish.
And we got our two-parter, and they ended it on the greatest way to do that. And I'm, that's why we had to play the song first. Because, okay. But anyway, of course we have our victim, Susan Watts, who's running down the alleyway. We see what looks like to be Jerry, which we find out, yes, of course it is. And she's being strangled the same exact way. And of course we find out that's not actually her face, which we always come back. And I love how it was the same way as before, where, you know, she turned her life around because she found this great job, she moved out, and then she just disappears until we find her in the alleyway. I like that as soon as they went back to New Start Horizons, that they see Kelly Niemann's face up there, and I was just like, no, she's back. For some reason, I thought she went to jail, but I'm glad that you reminded me that she did get away with it. She took up all her stuff in her practice, and she just left.
Yeah, she did. It was so crazy because, you know, Kelly Niemann and Jerry Tyson have always just been not even one step ahead of everyone.
Like they're like three.
They're like three steps ahead of everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, we thought we were going to get them, and then doesn't end up panning out that way, but she did say that the rumors about her stuff did mess up her practice, so she had to start over again, which clearly she didn't have a hard time starting over, because in my eyes it's been less than a year since it all happened, because I don't know what timeline, you know, because we did jump forward with Castle's disappearance and all that stuff. it could have been longer than that, but in my eyes, it's still only a year, and you look like you're doing okay because you've got a business and lots of clients coming in and out.
Did you see her practice? Like, it's all glass. You were obviously doing well in my brain. I did like that they brought back that Lainey and Esposito, even though after having their awkward breakup. I mean, obviously, they still have to be professional, but I like that they brought back, you know, a little bit of closeness because they were so close to the case last time, because it was their doubles who were killed, and it was really creepy and how she just caught on that as soon as she looked at Susan's body.
Yeah, I think I would have liked to have more of their involvement in it, yeah, because we only got that one moment when Lainey's kind of the one putting together the similarities in the cases, and then Lainey disappears from the episode. Esposito's around, but he's just sitting around with Ryan,
yeah,
waiting for results and stuff to come in. So I wish that they had brought them into it more, and maybe next week with Beckett missing and stuff, maybe that will be when we'll get more of their involvement in things. But just with how close they're connected to this, you'd think that they'd, like, yeah. I felt like Ryan was more invested in this because of his gun getting stolen, which, boo-hoo, your gun got stolen, over Esposito, who his body got, like, recreated, and people pretended to be him and stole police evidence.
I mean, because Castle had to go through the same thing, even though he was kidnapped, but, you know, for Ryan, it almost ended his career at one point, so I can see why he is. But you know how Ryan is. I mean, I love him to death, but he is a sensitive soul.
He's a drama queen. You can say it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, he's a drama queen.
And that's why, you know, it really ate him up. And I did like the fact that with all the flashbacks that they really put them out there of, like, I really want to get this guy because of this. And they were bringing it back every single part of the
episode.
Because
every person has a personal grudge.
Except for Captain, but she was there and had to go through all that.
But it's like Castle, you know, was kidnapped by him and is the reason why he got out, and Ryan, the gun, and Esposito, and Lainey. It's like everyone has their moment that he kind of screwed up their life in a way and almost ended their careers or their life in some manner. So.
Exactly. And we did get our wish that Castle did come back. Kate asked the DA, well, Kate asked Captain asked the DA, and they were like, yeah, he knows this case in and out, and the fact that they brought him back was fantastic. And of course, I loved seeing him back into the precinct pouring coffee for Kate. It brought back so many memories for me. And again, you know, Dr. Neiman, like her
cattiness. She's creepy too.
Well, that's why I like her character, but I hate her character because the fact that she brings this whole, like, I'm very, you know, stout and, you know, this is my practice. I know what I'm doing. I'm good at it. And obviously we can tell she's good at it. But at the same time, she does have that creepy factor of just noticing your flaws. And she doesn't even think about, you know, Jerry's flaws and everybody else that she's been trying to fix. It's just, especially when she's like, oh, here, you need a bag for some moisturizer? Because you look like you're tired. And I was like,
ultimate bitch move is telling a woman, oh, here, you look a little fatigued. Like,
yeah,
that's claws out. We're catfighting.
Take those earrings
out. Talk about shade in, like, the most obvious way. It was just like, ooh, I saw the blinds coming down. The palm tree leaf was there. It was like, shade, honey, shade.
Yeah, I just need to just sip that tea and just be like,
I'm just saying, you looking a little fatigued.
I was like, damn, ouch. But I love it because we both, like, dropped our jaw. We're like, oh, no.
I was like,
no, she did not go
like,
there.
Becca should have pulled out the gun and shot her then.
I know. I mean, if that doesn't make you guilty, I don't know what is. But we're moving on here. But, you know, we find out we couldn't get the security footage from the actual hospital, that we find out that there is a girl. Her name is, what was it, Amy?
Amy Barrett.
Looks exactly like Susan, and then of course we find out who's in the truck driving her back to wherever she needs to go, Mr. Jerry Tyson.
Allegedly, it's Jerry Tyson.
See,
it has not been proven that it's him,
I mean,
but we know it's him.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that when they find him and at a Michael
Boudreau.
Yes, Michael Boudreau's apartment, and he's trying, at first I was like, okay, that's obviously him because they're not showing his face. And they take him in, and he's just like, yeah, you're like the hottest cop I've ever seen. What? That was like my first reaction. I was just like, what are you talking about? And I love seeing Kate's face because she was just like, yeah, okay, haha, you're very funny. And he has no idea who they are. And I love Castle's just reaction of like, okay, we get it. Move on. And he's like, he's really sticking to it. And then I had that itty bitty little doubt, like, oh man, maybe this guy is Michael Boudreaux, just looks like Jerry Tyson, which doesn't make sense for you to get a serial killer's face. But according to him, he's never felt better or more himself. And I'm like, no, that's a clear sign that you're Jerry. Just shut up. And the fact that Amy is not his girlfriend because he doesn't want to put labels on it. Oh, the writing, you guys. It was killing me. I was just like, stop it. Playing with my emotions.
Labels on things. But there was a slight moment when I thought maybe it wasn't actually Jerry as well. Because there had been so many cases of, you know, Amy and what was the first girl's name? Susan. And, you know, Pam. There's so many of those cases that I was thinking, oh, maybe they're leading him down, like, the wrong road. Because they did get his face put on someone to throw the cops off. But then the more you start talking to him and sitting around him and
just like Jerry,
seeing those little, you know, slight hints in his mind, in his eyes, it's all in the eyes.
Yeah, because every time, like later on in the episode when Castle brings up like his mother and things that he said to him inside the hotel way back when, you could see that his eyebrows started to twinge, and I'm like, it's Jerry. Yeah. Like, why are we even still talking about this?
Like, yeah, that's Jerry. And then you're like, okay, we're gonna get him. We're gonna find DNA. We're gonna
We find out that, obviously, you know, Michael says, like, oh, yeah, you know, I went to Dr. Neiman. She's been really helpful. But when Kate asked, like, oh, did you go to Dr. Neiman? He paused and went, yeah. And I was like, what? Still, big, giant red flag. It's him. And I felt really bad that that they had to actually, like, look through everything and that his prints didn't match. And the DA was like, you have to let him go. It's not him. And I'm like, it's clear.
It's clearly him. My biggest question is, where is the real Michael Boudreaux? Because no one really seemed adamant about finding him.
He's dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's dead.
I mean, I'm just saying that might help lead you to other clues and stuff of, you know, where to find these people and how to connect them to this is to find the real Michael Boudreaux.
And also, I really want to know what Amy's involvement is. Like, what does she get out of this? I don't trust her. Well, especially after what happened at the end of the episode, I definitely don't trust her. Yeah. But I also want to know what gain does she get out of it? Did she fall in love with Jerry or Michael or whoever you are? Or is she just in it because they promised her something? Like, I don't understand. Because usually they don't have a third accomplice.
Well, because remember, they said that they've been poaching these girls from, like, in Ohio. There is the connection because Dr. Neiman was a donator at, like, a place of, like, where women were, like, an abuse shelter type of thing. And then, you know, they got Susan from the New Start Horizons, which was placing people who'd been in prison with jobs. So they're finding people who are clearly down and very impressionable. And so they're going to believe anything you tell them. Oh, like, hey, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to get you a job. I'm going to do this. Like, I like you. I love you. And then, you know, they're going to believe and do anything you say because they're very vulnerable and easily manipulated.
Yeah. And, you know, I just felt that, you know, if Amy didn't know what was going on and she was just helping, I'm feeling like, I mean, not to get into predictions, that maybe she'll double cross them or something like that later on, you know, in the next episode. But at the same time, I'm scared that she's going to become not the new triple killer, but at the same time, I feel like she'll get away with it because she didn't know what was happening. And then she'll come back, you know, season 8 or later on in the season and just start killing people the same exact way. So that's just me getting into that. But we find out, you know, after Castle talks to Michael in the cell and how he was talking about, you know, back to the flashback of their roles being reversed. And he realized that it all goes back to his mother, which I knew about, but I didn't realize how much involvement that was in his whole case of just the fact of him just finding blondes and killing them. So we obviously find her. She's in a trailer park outside of New York and, you know, she pretend. You know, she acts like, "Oh, don't ask me anything. I don't know anything about him."
I was a great mother. I didn't do anything that would have made him that way. The way
she
was,
she just kept repeating that over and over and over. And I understand that, you know, when someone who you raised or whoever you were involved with, family wise or relationship wise, is caught into a mass killing, you don't want to be affiliated with it, but at the same time, you don't have to keep telling us that. We get it.
We get it. And it was interesting to learn that she wasn't actually his mother, so he's holding on to anger, and he's upset at a woman who's not actually his mom mm-hmm. because she gave him up, but really your mom and your dad gave you up first, and she was kind of left with you, and then you were kind of crazy as a child, so she decided, hey, I'm going to let the government raise you, because that they give great care to children there.
Of course, you know? Yeah.
Especially ones who need help. It's just all the government does is give them help.
All the time. But the one thing is, yeah, okay, I assumed that maybe the fact that she wasn't just taking him, obviously the parents died and I guess she just got stuck with him. But the fact that she's like, oh, you know, I was a great mother, I feel like she really wasn't. And the fact that she was just like, don't just do whatever you want. I don't care. And that's what led him to the point of just sitting there going, I hate this woman. She doesn't even care about me. I want to kill her. And then, of course, he doesn't because she gives him up at 9, which was a good idea. Good job, Mom. Mom of the year. And she, you know, and then all of a sudden we start noticing, which I loved, which not to skip too much, is well, I guess we'll get into that. But Dr. Neiman's waiting back at the precinct after they find a baby tooth that was in her belongings, which I also wanted to give props to, is that the fact that he went there, 3 years ago to his mom and was like, can I take all my stuff that has my DNA on it? I just need it real quick. You don't need it, right? You don't care. You don't love me. I'm just going to take the box back.
Like we said, always multiple steps ahead because they wiped out the evidence room of all of the DNA evidence they
had. Signed out by Lainey.
Yeah. Wiped out his mom's trailer full of his stuff, except for the few things that she decided not to tell him about.
I mean, no, he might have known. I didn't think about that.
I also think he left it there as like...
For fun.
To toy with them because he knew he was going to get whatever records... switched out and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, or he could have just messed up. I mean, I don't think he can because he plans so freaking far ahead, but at the same time, moms always have to keep at least something. So maybe he was just like, okay, she'll keep my baby tooth and we'll just go from there. Or he'll be like, she's probably just going to keep toys. They can't find anything on there. And forgot about it.
Yeah. I don't know, because he thinks she's such a horrible mom and she thought she was a good mom, or she tells the police that, that's the only reason why I'm not sure that he would have known that she would keep a tooth, because if he thought she was a horrible person who didn't love him, why would she keep anything? So part of me is like, maybe he planted the tooth. Maybe the tooth wasn't even his.
Yeah.
We don't know because the DNA results...
obviously just didn't match my tooth. That was it.
They didn't match his, but it could have been because it wasn't his tooth to begin with.
Yeah,
because
they didn't even talk about whose tooth it was. They were just, you know, they just walked in.
Oh, he was a psycho kid. He probably took that out of another kid's mouth forcibly.
Holy crap. I didn't even think about that.
Remember,
you're so good.
Remember
at
that. Castle was like, oh, this is all this stuff. They're such normal toys. And
that's probably some of the kids' toys.
And Beckett's like, what were you expecting? Like
shrunken
heads? Yeah. A tooth that doesn't belong to him because he took it from another kid.
I bet you those toys are not.
When it wasn't
his.
Even loose.
Yeah. I mean, he probably took them from neighborhood kids and then was like, hey, Mom, look at my toys. And she's like, oh, you're so adorable. I'm going to keep them when you're, you know, a serial killer when you're older. Memories. Anyway, so we go back to the precinct and Kate is, or they're waiting for the results of the tooth. Kate gets a call from Amy, who is frantic because earlier they met up and she found out that Michael's card was being used at a restaurant. And Amy's freaking out going, I saw that girl who died in the news. I saw, you know, Michael and her, I think it was at another restaurant or they were in the car.
In the car 3 days ago in the truck.
Yeah. And she was freaking out because she's like, oh, he's cheating on me. But I didn't realize, oh my God, he, you know, I think he killed her. Okay. Don't move. Where are you? And the first thing we both said was, don't go alone, Kate. Don't go alone, Kate. Go with somebody. Take Castle with you, something. And she's like, okay, she's on this and this. I'm coming to get you. And what's the first thing Castle says? I'm going with you. And what does she say?
No,
of course not, Castle.
I scare her off. She could be our only lead. He could have sat in the car while you went and got her.
Or something.
Like, just have eyes on you at all times, Beckett. I know you don't have a real partner, but I need you to start being a smart detective. You are so beautiful and so smart, but so dumb at the same time.
That's exactly what she is. The first thing we were sitting there going, don't do it, don't do it. damn it, Kate.
What detective doesn't take backup with them?
TV detectives
ever?
Don't.
Like, ever. Esposito and Ryan are always together. I'm pretty sure that one of them wipes the other one's butt after he takes a poop. That's how close and together they are at all times.
And any time that they're not together, they're always in trouble.
Yes.
Period. But Kate and Castle just don't get that. They're like, oh, I'm independent. I'm amazing. I'm a writer. I totally have experience because I've been on the force for 7 years.
And also, taking Castle with you doesn't count as backup. He can't do anything if you're actually in trouble. Take Esposito.
No, no, no. Have you not seen his writer bulletproof vest? He can do anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can do anything with that bulletproof vest until he gets shot in the arm.
And then he's like, apparently kidnapped, drugged, and doesn't remember anything.
Allegedly.
Oh my word. But yeah, so of course she goes by herself. Castle sits there and he's like, I'm gonna intimidate Jerry by myself. Tell me what you know. Like, shut up. And technically he got his wish for a split second and he's just like, you're right. If I was Michael or whatever. And I was like, yeah. No, shut up. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. But I did like that, you know, like I said, coming back to it, that Castle figured it out. That he sat there and he goes, you're the reason that you're killing these beautiful blonde women over and over is because you wanted to kill your mother first, but you couldn't do it. So now, as revenge for her being such a terrible mother, you get to kill all these women, and then she gets to see it on the news over and over. And I was just like, this is crazy.
And then when he got the pictures of Susan and Amy and his mom.
When she was younger.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm starting to think, first of all, I'm very confused on who looked like what first. Like, if Pam was the copycat of Amy, or if Amy was the copycat of Pam.
That's right.
Or if they were both copycats of his mother.
I don't know.
I didn't know anymore.
That's the problem. Is because, one, they don't have an old picture of Pam, but they did bring her up way in the beginning of the episode. And I can't remember what she looked like. But she does look exactly like the newer copies, which I love. That's what I'm going to call them now. Like, the newer copies of her. And it is eerily spot on, is what she looked like. Because at first when they said, oh, it's all about her mother doesn't look like any of the women that we've been seeing. But I didn't think about it, that the fact that, oh, these are supposed to be younger versions of his mother. And as soon as they put all the pictures side by side, I literally put my hands in my hair and I was like, no. Because I was freaking out. But I mean, at the same time, it is crazy how just a mind works in that fashion of just looking for the perfect copy, or obviously fashioning them, which I like that. That's why Dr. Neiman is so involved, is because she's literally making these victims for him to kill. So it's not more of like a sport. It's more just like, I love you. Here's my affections by giving you a person.
She's
to look
a sociopath
like your mom.
Too. So it's like you get two sociopaths together and it's like mayhem.
And that's pretty much what it's been for the past few seasons, over and over and over. And we find out that when Captain comes in, she's like, Mr. Boudreaux, you may go. And I was like, crap. Well, we all saw that coming, but at the same time, I don't like it.
And when Dr. Neiman came in to the precinct and said she was waiting, we both were like, she's there because
she knows.
Because she knows, and because they both needed to be in the precinct to have an alibi, so that later on, when Becca goes missing, technically we know it's that they're behind it.
Exactly.
But they have a solid alibi because they were literally sitting in the precinct when it happened.
Yeah.
So they can't point the finger at them legally.
And you could see it on Jerry's face that he knew Castle was going to come in there, because first thing he does, he's like, here, pull a chair. And like kicks the chair out. And I was like, oh yeah, he was waiting for Castle to be in there, because now he can't, even though if there was nobody in the interrogation room with him, Castle was sitting right in front of him. And, you know, she was sitting right across the way from the captain's office. Ryan and Esposito were right in the middle. Like, there is eyes everywhere, which is a first, because apparently people can just go into the records room and steal stuff and nobody knows. Just saying. Okay, I'm done venting. But, you know, and I love how as soon as she gets off the phone, Dr. Neiman stands up and I was just like, crap.
Yep.
Just
like
utter,
she knew.
Yeah.
And then
they walk out hand in hand.
Which was weird, because Dr. Neiman said she was there for her patient because he needed support.
No.
He said that he was kind of dating Amy, but then they walk out holding hands and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, because clearly you're not who you say you are.
No. They obviously are doing it just to burn the fact that they know, because Castle's on the phone trying to call Kate. And they're just sitting there holding hands like, we did it. They're never going to know because we're awesome. But at the same time, I bet you she's, if someone asks like, oh, you guys are holding hands. She's like, I was just trying to support my patient.
Yeah.
You know, after this traumatic experience. No. No. Go. Oh, I say so many
expletives.
And I loved
his wink in the elevator at Castle. He was all sexy like,
yeah,
real like, quick. And I was like.
And I love how she just picked up her phone and you just hear it's done and she's...
It sounded like a woman's voice.
It was. I bet she was Amy. It's completely yeah. Amy. But I hate, like, the one thing that just killed it for me in this episode was when Kate gets a call. I thought it was Castle and that she was just going to be like, yeah, but she answered it. Beckett, she never does that when Castle calls. So I was like, okay, that can't be him. And then the song starts and I was like, crap, she's taken. We're done. And that's where I was sitting there going, I needed Castle to be like, I will find you and I will kill you. That's what I needed. But of course that didn't happen. And of course we're back to be continued and we will meet again.
Oh,
so I think that was a great episode.
It was a really great episode. It had me literally on the edge of my seat
the whole time.
I stopped writing down things because I couldn't handle it. I was tweeting the cast like, why didn't you guys prepare us for this to be so intense?
And I liked that they brought the fact of just like, hey guys, this is happening. get ready for the ride. I was literally digging my nails into my seat because I was like, no, please somebody go find her, someone call her.
The saddest part for me was that we started the episode with, you know, Alexis saying goodbye and giving Kate a goodbye kiss and Kate and Castle talking about babies and starting their own family.
And getting the wedding back, and, maybe.
Yeah,
possibly.
And I was like, ooh, this is going to be so exciting. It's all, like, super positive and happy. And I was like, I can't wait to see how they tie that into the end of the episode because, you know, how we start is always, like, little ribbon with the bow on top. Nope, we didn't go back to none of that.
It was just like, it's like, here we go, creepy music. She's gone. To be continued.
To be continued. Like, I was like, really, guys? We were so happy 24 hours ago.
It was literally just like, hey, kid, this is a new toy. This is a new teddy bear. Take good care of it. Just kidding, it's mine.
That's what they did to my heart.
Yeah. But we have to get into predictions because I need to know what you think. Please, 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 please.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV
predictions.
Okay, so I definitely think that Amy is involved somehow.
Yes.
Not sure how she ties into everything just yet, but I think she's involved because I also want to know who Tyson's lawyer is because he was mentioned multiple times, but are he or she, just because they never said what the person was, but we never saw them. The person talked to Amy allegedly and said, you know, don't talk to them. Was apparently around causing a fuss, but we never actually see this lawyer. So is there really a lawyer involved? Was it just, you know, money being thrown around by Dr. Neiman to keep people silent?
Well, I'm going to assume that she has her own legal section of her practice. So it's got to be one of those guys. And she just probably just threw an extra, you know, here's a raise or here's an extra few $1,000. Just, you know, defend my clients because they are technically her clients. So it's not, you know, it's not really far-fetched for them to be like, oh, the cops are haggling you? Let's slap some stuff on there, you know. So it kind of makes sense.
I definitely think she's involved. I'm not sure how we're going to find Kate, but I know she's going to get found.
Yeah. I mean, according to the preview that we saw, obviously they're trying really hard to find her. They do find her, but her face is down. I'm scared that they probably did something to her face. That's just me. I really highly doubt they would ever do anything to her, like, feature-wise. I feel like they'd probably just beat her up or something like that, if that's the case. She's going to be knocked out for a long period of time. And it's pretty much just like role reversal. Castle was missing, found him, doesn't remember anything, and then maybe Kate's going to be found. I don't think she's going to have a memory loss, but there's going to be something wrong with her. Because remember, Dr. Neiman's always talking about her face every single time we see her. So I think, I'm hoping it won't, but I think that they're going to do something to her face.
Oh, they
somehow
definitely are.
Just Botox, I don't know.
She definitely points out Kate's face and the structure of it.
All
every
the
time that we see her.
So
see
I'm
interact.
Frightened of what they will do to her face, or maybe they'll start to do to her face, and maybe, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm also thinking that this experience, because Dr. Neiman tells Beckett, you know, maybe you should take a vacation because she looked tired.
Yeah.
Beckett also said at the beginning of the episode that there's never really a good time with her job to take time off to have a child. So maybe after this is when we'll get Kate, you know, after she's recovered from the traumatic experience, taking time off and taking time for her, because life is short, Kate. So might as well just have that baby already.
Need to have some casket babies. Let's go. Hurry up. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat that this will change a lot of things. I mean, especially from the episode, the last time they brought this up with the song, how it just, it completely, like, petrified her, and she was just kind of like, I need to rethink a lot of things, that maybe it will bring back the, like, I need to get married, you know, to you again eventually, or now, or whatever, and then just start a family and just be more involved with the people in my life, because I don't have time for you guys, and after this experience, it might, or she might actually just take a break from the forest altogether because of what she's going to do to her face.
Yeah.
Maybe she won't feel the same, and it will cause more problems, and then this will hopefully get Castle back onto the track of either them working together as a PI while she's taking a break, or this will also bring Castle back because he has to help find Kate, and he's obviously not going to let the DA tell him, like, oh, no, you can't be part of this. It's still part of the case. Kate's missing. He's going to do everything in his power to get back to her.
Yeah.
So that's my prediction. I want to know what you guys think, because this episode is ridiculous and I need to know. So please go onto YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, tweet at us as well, because I would love to know what you guys think. Tiana, where can we find you?
I am on Twitter and on Instagram at the Tiana Hobson, and I don't know why I started talking like this at all.
Well, I like it. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as atorres890. You can also find me here at AfterBuzz on the 100. And Face Off, which is happening on Thursday, and the 100 on Wednesday. I'm really happy that you guys are here. Tiana, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're going to be back, right? For next week? Because, I mean,
I don't know.
Got to.
We'll see.
It's part two. But anyway, have a great night, guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.